Here's your fair value brief for Friday, July 31st, 2026. The Fed's widening rate gap is tightening financial conditions on its own. The difference between the Fed's policy rate, 3.63%, and the 10-year Treasury yield, 4.61%, has pushed 30-year mortgage rates to 6.66%, their highest in a year. Meanwhile, housing starts have outpaced permits for a second straight month, a late-cycle warning sign. Tech is splitting into two camps, AI hardware winners and software laggards. Chipmakers surged in Thursday's trading, AMD up 13%, NVIDIA up 2.6%, while software firms stumbled, with Meta down 8% and Adobe down 5.9%. It's a clear shift toward suppliers over cash-burning developers. And oil's geopolitical premium? It eased slightly, but it's not gone. Brent crude dipped 0.5% to $89.53 after Iran's missile strikes failed to hold gains, though refineries running at 97.2% capacity are keeping gasoline prices firm. Now, to the markets. July's final trading session leaves one big question. Is the economy straining under the Fed's tightening by proxy? The answer is taking shape in three key areas: housing, tech, and energy, and each is showing different signs of stress. Start with the Fed's 1.5 percentage point gap, with short-term rates at 3.63% and the 10-year Treasury yield at 4.61%. That spread has become the economy's real break. Mortgage rates climbed to 6.66%, their highest since last summer, while housing starts topped permits for the second month in a row. That's a sign builders are rushing to finish projects before demand fades. If this keeps up, we could see a surplus of unsold homes by early 2027. Potentially shaving 2 or 3/10 of a point off GDP growth. Tech's rebound this week revealed a sharp divide. Semiconductor stocks led Thursday's gains, AMD up 13%, Intel up 11.3%, while software giants struggled. Meta dropped 8%, Adobe fell 5.9%. Investors are favoring AI hardware providers over companies spending heavily on improven tech. Microsoft was the exception, jumping 15.5% after strong cloud revenue, though its $41 billion in quarterly capital spending raised some eyebrows about long-term margins. Oil's risk premium pulled back, but hasn't disappeared. Brent crude settled at $89.53 after Iran's missile strikes on U.S. bases didn't sustain a rally. Yet tensions in the Strait of Hormuz keep markets on edge. With refineries at 97.2% capacity, any supply shock could quickly reverse this dip. And here's the overlooked pressure point. Private credit defaults hit a second quarter record, with over half of the 32 cases involving extended maturities. That's a sign borrowers can't refinance at today's rates. Bottom line, the Fed's yield curve gap is tightening more than they planned. Tech is splitting into AI leaders and laggards, and oil's next move hinges on diplomacy or escalation. Now, the big story. The Fed's 1.5 percentage point gap, how it's acting like the economy's silent speed limit. The Federal Reserve didn't raise rates this week, but the bond market did the tightening for them. The spread between the Fed's policy rate, 3.63%, and the 10-year Treasury yield, 4.61%, has widened to 1.5 percentage points, the largest since 2022. And it's now the main tool slowing growth, with ripple effects in housing, debt, and spending. Here's how it's playing out. The Fed kept short-term rates at 3.63%. The central bank left its benchmark unchanged on Wednesday, but three officials, Beth Hammack, Neil Kashkari, and Lori Logan, pushed for an immediate hike, citing inflation concerns. Chairman Kevin Warsh restated the 2% inflation goal, but gave no clues about September, leaving markets in the dark. Meanwhile, the 10-year Treasury yield rose to 4.61%. While the Fed controls overnight rates, the 10-year yield is set by investors, and they're betting on persistent inflation. The yield climbed to 4.61 this week, up from 4.26 just a month ago, setting the floor for mortgages, corporate bonds, and loans. That pushed mortgage rates to 6.66%, a one-year high. The 30-year fixed rate usually tracks the 10-year Treasury plus a 1.5 to 2% risk premium. With the 10-year at 4.61, mortgages jumped to 6.66%. That adds about $300 to the monthly payment on a $400,000 loan compared to last year. a 15% increase that's pricing out first-time buyers. Housing starts exceeded permits for the second month in a row, signaling a slowdown. Builders started 1.427 million homes in June, but secured permits for only 1.374 million. Normally, permits lead starts. When starts lead, developers are rushing to finish before demand drops. At current mortgage rates, that demand is at risk. If this trend continues, we could see excess inventory by early 2027, potentially cutting GDP growth by 2 or 3/10 of a percent. Borrowing costs are rising for riskier firms, too. High-yield bond spreads widened to 2.84% over treasuries, up from 2.81 last week, while investment-grade spreads stayed tight at 0.81%. Big, stable companies can still borrow cheaply, but smaller firms and cyclical sectors, like housing, face higher costs. And the Fed? They're stuck. If the spread narrows, meaning long-term rates fall, mortgage rates would drop, easing pressure on growth. But that requires markets to believe inflation is fading, and that conviction isn't there yet. Until it is, the Fed's choices are limited. Cutting risks reigniting inflation, but holding risks over tightening. The key unknown, does this widening spread reflect true expectations of high rates for longer, meaning sticky inflation, or just a temporary geopolitical premium? The answer will determine whether the Fed cuts in September or waits, and whether housing stabilizes or stumbles. Here's the level to watch. If the 10-year Treasury yield stays above 4.5% for two more weeks, the housing slowdown will likely worsen. But if it drops below 4.25, mortgage rates could ease enough to revive demand. Now, the big picture. The S&P 500 rose 1.66% on Thursday, but the real action was under the surface, where the market's split grew even sharper. Tech's divide dominated the day. Semiconductor stocks led the gains, AMD up 13%, Intel up 11.3%, Micron up 18.4%, as investors bet on soaring AI hardware demand. Software, though, struggled. Meta dropped 8%, Adobe fell 5.9%. The Nasdaq, heavy on tech, still gained 3.36%, its best session in weeks. But the split is clear. The market is rewarding AI suppliers, chips, data centers, while punishing users, companies spending heavily on unproven models. Microsoft was the exception, up 15.5% after strong cloud revenue, though its $41 billion in quarterly capital spending raised questions about how long it can keep this up. Bonds flashed a caution signal. The 10-year Treasury yield held at 4.61%, keeping the spread over the Fed's rate at 1.5 percentage points, a level tied to slower growth. Mortgage rates followed, climbing to 6.66%, while housing starts again outpaced permits. Commodities reflected shifting geopolitical risks. Brent crude fell to $89.53 after Iran's missile strikes on U.S. bases didn't sustain a rally. But tensions in the Strait of Hormuz remain high. With refineries at 97.2% capacity, any supply disruption would quickly push prices back up. Looking ahead to next week's catalysts, earnings from Exxon, Chevron, and AMD, all at the crossroads of energy, tech, and inflation, will be closely watched. And the Bank of Japan's policy announcement today could move global markets if Governor Kazuo Ueda hints at a shift from ultra-loose settings. Around the world now, the Strait of Hormuz remains the world's most critical economic bottleneck. Iran's missile strikes on U.S. bases briefly lifted oil prices earlier this week, but Brent crude settled 0.5% lower at $89.53 on Thursday. The strait, which carries 20% of global oil, is still volatile. And with refineries running at 97.2% utilization, any disruption would send gasoline prices climbing fast. China is ramping up trade pressure. Beijing criticized new U.S. tariffs on $60 billion of imports, including Canadian goods, as part of a broader push to pressure allies. The move has backfired in Panama, which now faces Chinese disruption to its shipping industry after recognizing Taiwan, a real threat to its logistics ambitions. Europe's energy transition is hitting snags. Wildfires in France forced Airbus, Thales, and MBDA to pause production, disrupting aerospace and defense supply chains. Meanwhile, Germany's industrial output fell for the third straight month as high energy costs and weak Chinese demand weigh on manufacturers. Japan is holding on to stimulus, for now. The yen strengthened 2% overnight ahead of the Bank of Japan's policy announcement today, where Governor Kazuo Ueda is expected to keep ultra-loose monetary settings. While a weaker yen helps exporters like Toyota, it's making imported inflation worse for consumers. And Canada's housing market is weakening. After 8 rate hikes since 2022, Canadian home sales dropped 15% year-over-year in June, with prices down 5% in Toronto and Vancouver. The clearest sign yet that higher rates are taking a toll. Now, the companies in focus. Microsoft's $450 billion market cap jump hides a spending surge. Shares rose 15.5% on Thursday after cloud revenue beat expectations, adding $450 billion to its market value, the largest one-day gain for a U.S. company ever. But the details showed $41 billion in quarterly capital spending, up 69% from last year, as Microsoft races to build AI data centers. Meta's AI investments are raising doubts again. Shares fell 8% on Thursday, extending July's losses to 11%. Despite a 27% jump in ad revenue, investors focused on the company's $12.5 billion spend on AI data centers, a move that's squeezing margins with unclear payoffs. AMD defied the semiconductor slump. Shares surged 13% on Thursday after announcing a 500-megawatt data center deal with Core Scientific, bucking the sector's recent weakness. Exxon and Chevron's earnings today will test oil's resilience. Both report results this morning, and the market will be watching closely for signs of how major producers are handling Strait of Hormuz risks and refining margins. Tesla rose on China exit rumors. Shares climbed 3.5% on Thursday amid reports the company may sell its China operations to clear regulatory hurdles for a potential SpaceX merger. And Broadcom's AI chip deals extended its rally. Shares rose 4.7% on Thursday, bringing 2026 gains to 23%, after reports its custom AI chips for Google and Anthropic could generate $21 billion in revenue this year. From Washington now, the Federal Reserve left its benchmark rate at 3.5 to 3.75% this week, but internal divisions were clear. Three officials, Beth Hammack, Neil Kashkari, and Lori Logan, argued for an immediate hike, the strongest pushback Chairman Kevin Warsh has faced. Their reasoning? Inflation is still above the 2% target, and the labor market is too strong to justify waiting. Warsh, though, stuck to his data-dependent approach, offering no hints about September. Housing is feeling the squeeze right away. Mortgage rates reached 6.66% this week, the highest since last summer, while new home sales fell to 628,000 in June, far below the 800,000 peak of the early 2020s. Under the hood now, the mechanics of that 1.5 percentage point gap, the difference between the Fed funds rate, 3.63%, and the 10-year Treasury yield, 4.61%, is now the economy's main monetary lever, and it's tightening faster than the Fed planned. Here's how it works. The Fed holds short-term rates at 3.63%. The central bank left its benchmark unchanged, but the market is doing the tightening. The 10-year Treasury yield, driven by long-term growth and inflation expectations, rose to 4.61% from 4.26% just a month ago. Mortgage rates jumped to 6.66%. The 30-year fixed rate follows the 10-year Treasury plus a roughly 1.5 to 2% risk premium. With the 10-year at 4.61, mortgages hit 6.66%, the highest in a year. Housing starts outpaced permits again, signaling a slowdown. Builders started 1.427 million homes in June, but secured permits for only 1.374 million. Permits usually lead starts. When starts lead, developers are rushing to finish before demand weakens. And the Fed faces a tough choice. If the spread narrows, meaning long-term rates fall, mortgage rates would drop, easing pressure on growth. But that requires markets to believe inflation is cooling, and that belief isn't solid yet. The core question, does the widening spread reflect expectations of high rates for longer, suggesting persistent inflation, or just a temporary geopolitical risk premium? Now, worth learning today, GDP, the economy's report card. We're still waiting for the Bank of England's monetary policy report from yesterday. The question lingers, Will the BOE's tone turn more hawkish or dovish? Today's lesson ties into that 1.5 percentage point gap and how it's slowing GDP growth. Here's what GDP measures, why the spread matters, and how it affects your finances. GDP tracks four things. First, consumer spending, your rent, groceries, streaming bills, 70% of US GDP. Second, business investment, like a cafe's new espresso machine or Amazon's data centers. Third, government spending, public school salaries, highway repairs, defense contracts. And fourth, net exports, US exports minus imports. The formula, GDP equals consumer spending plus business investment plus government spending plus net exports. US GDP hit $24.27 trillion in the second quarter of 2026, up from $24.18 trillion in the first quarter, a 0.3% increase. Growth rates translate to real impact. 2% annual growth feels slow. The economy doubles every 35 years. 4% growth doubles the economy every 18 years. Today's sub-2% growth reflects the Fed's 1.5 percentage point gap. Higher long-term rates mean pricier loans, which weakens consumer spending and business investment. The yield curve, when long-term rates rise faster than short-term, signals markets expect inflation to stick. And that expectation slows growth. Here's why this hits your wallet. Your paycheck, sub-2% GDP growth usually means weaker wage gains. Your investments, stocks do best with 3 to 4% GDP growth. Below 2%, corporate earnings stagnate. Your debt, that 1.5 percentage point gap is why credit card APRs average 20% and student loan rates just rose. Tomorrow's focus, the Bank of Japan holds its policy press conference today. Key question, if Governor Kazuo Ueda adopts a hawkish tone, how will the yen, Japanese bond yields, and the Nikkei respond? And finally, here's what to watch this week. Today, the Bank of Japan press conference. Any shift from ultra-loose policy could lift the yen and weigh on global risk assets. Also today, Canada GDP month-over-month, forecast to rise 0.2%. A weak reading would confirm high rates are slowing growth. Monday, U.S. ISM manufacturing PMI. A sub-50 print would signal factory contraction, pressuring stocks. Tuesday, Australia's Reserve Bank rate decision. Another hold is expected, but hints of future cuts could weaken the Australian dollar. Wednesday, U.S. ADP employment report. Soft data could ease Fed hike fears, lowering Treasury yields. Thursday, U.S. initial jobless claims. A print above 200,000 would signal labor market cooling. And Friday, U.S. non-farm payrolls, forecast at 180,000. The headline number will dominate the Fed's September rate decision. That's it for today. We'll be back Monday with the fallout from the Bank of Japan and the latest on oil, tech, and the Fed's next move. Have a great weekend.